Lecture 46, Petersburg to Appomattox.
With this lecture, we will complete our coverage of the military side of the conflict. We'll look at the last stage of the Petersburg campaign, move then to Lee's retreat from Richmond toward Appomattox, and his surrender of the Army of Northern Virginia to Ulysses S. Grant and the Army of the Potomac at that southwestern Virginia village in early April 1865. We'll close with a brief look at other major Confederate surrenders, the surrenders that put most of the Confederate field forces out of commission. But let's start in Virginia. As Grant tightened his grip on Lee and the Army of Northern Virginia during the winter and spring of 1865, we've seen that by the end of that winter, William Tecumseh Sherman's army had made its way into North Carolina and had brought the Confederacy's western military forces, including the remnant of the Army of Tennessee, to a point of near impotence. Philip Sheridan's smashing success in the Shenandoah Valley the preceding autumn had ended major Confederate military presence there as well. But there remained in the field one important stumbling block to Northern victory, and that was Robert E. Lee and the Army of Northern Virginia. There were also smaller forces at various other points in the Confederacy, but the key was Lee and the Army of Northern Virginia. A number of areas in the South had also been spared the direct presence of Union armies. For the United States to complete its work of suppressing the rebellion, two things remained to be done. First, this is from Grant's point of view, first, this harsh war of exhaustion would have to be carried to the previously spared areas. And second, Lee's army would have to be broken. And in order to do that, Grant was going to have to find a way to root it out of the defensive lines on the Petersburg-Richmond front, get it out into the open somehow, and there pursue Lee's army to a final confrontation where the North's massive advantages of men and materiel could be brought fully to bear. Lee and Grant, throughout the winter of 64-65 and into the spring, remained essentially immobile along the Petersburg and Richmond lines. Grant constantly seeking to lengthen his lines. We've talked about this before, pushing them ever westward, southward, and westward, and Lee trying to match him. Grant was trying to get control of and sever the major roads and major railroads along which supplies moved to keep Lee's army in the field. Grant wanted to make sure that Lee could not break out of Petersburg and march southward to link up with Joseph Johnston. He didn't want Lee and Johnston as a combined force to be able to face Sherman and then come back and face him. Keep these two armies apart. There was an important action on February 5th through the 7th at Hatcher's Run, where Federals challenged Lee's right flank. The Federals failed to achieve a decisive advantage here, but Grant immediately lengthened his lines in the wake of the fight at Hatcher's Run and forced Lee to extend his as well. Lee's army after that occupied a front 35 miles long. 35 miles long. Lee is being pushed to the absolute breaking point. Now, Lee knew what Grant was up to. He knew Grant was trying to stretch him out. He knew Grant didn't want him to find a way to link up with Joe Johnston. Lee hoped to find a way to do just that, but he was also facing a major problem with desertions. Desertions in the Army of Northern Virginia began to rise markedly during the winter of 64-65. They reached 100 men a day in some parts of that period, and Lee knew that his strength was ebbing and that his only hope lay in extricating himself somehow from the siege lines, taking to the field, and trying to make something happen there. On March 25th, 1865, Lee took one last gamble, the last great offensive spasm of the Army of Northern Virginia, if you like. Lee hoped to break through the encircling Federal lines, establish enough of a corridor to allow his army to march out, and then see what would happen in the field.